Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Welcome to Orioles on the Birds. This is Zach Spedden, joined as always by Bob Phelan. Our co-host Nick Stevens is out this week as we dive into our predictions for the 2024 MLB season. Earlier this week in part one, we predicted player performances, such as when Jackson Holliday and Coby Mayo will make their major league debuts. We also did some over-unders based on projections for that. Bob and I were joined by Connor Newcomb, the host of Locked On Orioles, for that. And Connor is back here for part two with us. And I will go with him to start the predictions with this first prompt. Predict the Orioles' record and their final place in the American League East standings.
I will take the Orioles go. I think they take a little step back, not in talent, but it's just really, really hard to win 100 games back-to-back years. So I'm going to say they go 91-71 this year. And I'm actually going to say that they finish second in the American League East.
Okay. I do agree that the record's going to be a little bit worse than last year because it's kind of hard not to be. But I think it's going to be a more consistent, better talent overall, more fun to watch. No more Adam Frazier's out there. Well, Tyler Nevin, I guess. But, you know, I think it'll be exciting. It'll be another year with young guys coming up throughout the year to give sparks here and there. I'm hoping and assuming Kyle Bradish is going to be back at it like a bad habit by June, and combined with Burns and Rodriguez, get that trifecta we wanted after we saw the Burns news. In honor of my first year as an Orioles fan, 96 wins. First place in the AL East.
I'm going to be on the high side here and go with 99 wins, which will be enough to win the American League East. I do think they take a step backwards, but as I look at the American League East coming into this year, every team, including the Orioles, has some sort of question mark in my mind. And I just think that top to bottom, the Orioles have the strongest roster right now. And knowing the tracker of the Yankees with their injuries, Tampa Bay, some of the question marks they have. And then you look at Toronto and Boston. Toronto, I think, is going to be a little bit better this year, but I don't see them being significantly better. And Boston, the Lucas Giolito injury just was a big blow because their pitching staff needs to be better, and I just don't see it taking the step forward this year that it needs to, even though I actually like their lineup.
Yeah, I do think that the rest of the AL East is a little bit down this year, even though the Yankees went out and got Juan Soto, Gerrit Cole's hurt. Aaron Judge always hurt. So let's go and see if we think there's going to be any in-season contract extensions, particularly after Wednesday with new ownership in place. Connor?
I will say no. I mean, it could happen. Generally, they're more likely in the offseason. Now, I don't know how that's going to fit in with the Orioles because we haven't seen them give an extension in who knows how long to any player. But generally, it's done in the offseason. I also think just with all the hoopla around the Rubenstein switch, the Rubenstein takeover, I think next offseason is going to be the first time we start to see them pop up, but I don't see one in season. And to me, that even includes the guys who are pending free agents. Even if the Orioles are considering extending those guys for a couple of years, I don't think it will be during the season.
I agree with Connor. I don't think we're going to see one in season. I think new ownership groups going to want to get in, get a better sense of what they have in front of them on and off the field before they divvy up a commitment. I think that we could see a couple of extensions within the next 12 months, but we're not going to see one in season.
I got to disagree. I think it's not going to be Gunner. It's not going to be Holiday because those are Boris agents. Just if those extensions are going to happen, I think it's going to be in the offseason and maybe a little bit further into their major league careers. But I would not be shocked at all if Adley Rutschman signs a in-season contract extension. I think I want to say Julio Rodriguez was an in-season contract extension when that happened. It does happen occasionally, although I think off-season spring training is more likely. But I think Rubenstein's going to want to come in and give the fans something to praise him for. And I think that could be one. Maybe if Jordan Montgomery doesn't sign very soon, maybe that could be another way to do that. But yeah, I think Adley will get a 8 to 10 year extension, and it'll happen before the All-Star game.
Any moves at the trade deadline, get as specific as possible. And since he wrote this, I'm going to start with Bob.
This is really Ben Dorst at Oriole Status 1 question, but I did write it officially on the spreadsheet. I will say yes, there will be a trade deadline acquisition. Specifics are tough because who knows who's available. That's really, really hard to do. I do think they're going to continue to be interested in Jesus Luzardo as the season goes on. If he's available from the Marlins, I think there could be a play there if they're out of the mix. And I definitely think you'll see interest in a relief pitcher, especially with Felix out. Our bullpen, at least late in games, isn't as intimidating as it was last year. So probably going to be a point that any team can upgrade at any time. So between those two, one or both, I think, yeah, we'll make a trade. Connor Norby, you're going to get your major league debut sometime around August.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to make a trade. They will definitely, I think, add a reliever, at least one. That might be impossible to predict who that reliever could be right now. I mean, it could be an expiring contract. It could be a lesser known guy with years of control who they want to, you know, tweak something and turn him into a good reliever. It could be a starter who they go and get from one team that they're going to put in the bullpen. Like, it could be anything. I think they'll have to add a starter too. And I'm trying to look through like the impending free agents and see if maybe those guys could be of interest to the Orioles. It's tough to parse out who is going to be on what team and which teams are going to be struggling, which teams are going to be playing well. But let's go with the Orioles will add maybe like a resurgent Ross Stripling in Oakland. He kind of figures it back out again and becomes a nice swingman, five starter, bullpen in the playoffs guy for the Orioles.
I think that they go and get a starter and reliever. Stripling is a good one to identify. I would definitely look for someone in that mold. There's not a player that comes to mind for me really just yet, but I definitely think that that's kind of where they will go, a starter and reliever.
Actually, I'm going to add three names right here. They're going to go after three starting pitchers who are impending free agents. They're going to be Kyle Gibson, Wade Miley, and Alex Cobb. We're getting the gang back together.
This is not what we wanted from new ownership. I'm just going to say that.
All right, we'll go to the next one here. Will the Orioles make the playoffs? And if so, how far will they advance? Now, we've all already said that we think the Orioles will make the playoffs, so just take the first part of that question. How deep into the playoffs do the Orioles go? I'll start with Connor.
Yeah, I'll just – why not? They're going to win the World Series. Why not? I mean, what's the fun in not predicting that at this point? I mean, they've got one of the best teams in baseball. Baseball Reference put out their World Series odds today. The Orioles were second behind the Dodgers at 13% to win the World Series. Like, that is kind of hard to get through my brain when the amount of bad Orioles baseball I have watched over the past 5-6 years. They are the second best team in terms of World Series odds in the preseason with a gigantic question about their guy that just finished fourth in AL Cy Young voting. Like, that is kind of insane how this team's been put together. And so, yeah, why not? They're going to win the World Series.
Yeah, pinch me. This is the most talented Orioles team in my lifetime. And it's exciting. It's days away now. So cannot wait. Obviously, yes, the Orioles will make the playoffs. I think they will win a game. Not like last year. I think we'll make the World Series. And I think we will defeat the Houston Astros in the ALCS. 7 games. Mike Elias and company get their, you know, revenge on their old home stomping grounds, and then play either the Braves or the Dodgers in the World Series. I mean, that's going to be tough. I'll say we lose in the World Series in 6 or 7 games, and that just makes the fire even stronger for 2025.
Yeah. You know what? I'll just go ahead and predict that they win the whole thing. They'll defeat the Braves in the World Series, which is the easy thing to predict right now, but let's just go with that.
So I'm the pessimist. Thanks, guys. How many all-star selections and who will they be from the Orioles? Zach?
So I have as my all-star selections this year, Gunnar Henderson makes it for the first time. I think Adley goes back. Corbin Burns is in there. And I'm going to say Anthony Santander gets in. He has a really high bar to clear, but he's also one of those players that if he has good numbers around the end of the first half, he would be a great alternate for someone who gets hurt or who for some reason does not play, because he could fill in a couple of spots for you. He'll have numbers that statistically are good enough for him to be there. So I'll go with those four guys, Burns, Rutschman, Henderson, and Santander.
I'll agree with those first three. Burns, American League starter, Rutschman, starting catcher, Gunner, starting shortstop in the All-Star game. And then, I mean, you know, it's he's a good reliever. I think the thing with the kind of randomish relievers is that it's much more likely if you're a bad team to get one of those guys in. Now, the good Orioles got Brad Brock into the All-Star game once, so it's happened before. But generally, those are the guys where it's like, oh, you know, the A's turned Mason Miller into one of the best relievers in baseball. They need an All-Star. He's going to be the setup man that we, you know, put onto this All-Star team. But there's always more pitchers than you need, because guys pitch Sunday, guys opt out of the All-Star game. And while I don't think it can be John Means or Kyle Bradish, just because even if they do return, it's going to be too late. How about Tyler Wells pitches well enough in the first half again? And even if some of it is in relief, he's so good that he becomes an alternate who actually gets put on the roster in the All-Star game.
I think the three slam dunks, Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman, Corbin Burns. I think there will be another pitcher from the Orioles. I'll say Grayson Rodriguez gets a nod, and I'll say Cedric Mullins, because I think he's going to have a really nice bounce back year. I'll say he gets an outfield. He takes the Austin Hayes position, the much deserved outfield spot for the Orioles.
Will any Orioles win a Gold Glove Award this year? I will start with Bob.
Adley Rutschman will. And again, Cedric Mullins. He's been close, I feel like, a few times. I say he gets one this year.
I'm going to say Adley gets one. And this is kind of way out on a limb for this guy to win one, but I don't know. Ryan Mountcastle wins one at first base. I think he settles in and plays a lot more there than O'Hearn does. O'Hearn fits in more of a DH pinch hitter by the end of the season. And I think Mountcastle gets rewarded for getting better and better at that position.
I really like that pick. I've got two different guys. Well, I've got a different second selection. I think Adley wins behind the plate this year. I think it was kind of close between him and Jonah Heim, although we don't know the vote totals. I have to think that in voters' minds, it was close, but where Jonah Heim separated himself is that he was much better at throwing out base runners than Adley was. I think Adley takes enough of a step forward in that category this year to get the award. And then I'm going to say Gunnar Henderson wins it, but he actually wins it as a utility, because that's such a weird category that I think whoever nominates these players gives the voters enough leeway that even if Gunnar only plays, let's say, 35 games at third base, they'll put him in there. He could get nominated two positions. That wouldn't surprise me at all, but I think he wins at utility because shortstop is always a really tough category year in and year out, but I think he'd settle in nicely at utility.
Could see that as well. Will any Orioles receive Cy Young votes? I wonder who could. If so, how high in the voting will they finish, Zach?
Corbin Burns is going to win American League Cy Young this year. I just don't – when you look at the field right now, a lot of your top-tier guys have health concerns going into the season. And so Burns right now is probably the best active pitcher in the American League. His quote-unquote down year last year was still good enough for him to get Cy Young votes in the National League, and his second half was excellent. So carry that over to the new team, new environment. He's going to get a lot of run support behind him, good bullpen. I think he wins the award outright. He's probably the only Oriole to get votes, but I think he wins the whole thing.
Yeah, I also think he wins it, and he's the only Oriole to get votes.
I think he wins the Cy Young, but I do think Grayson Rodriguez will be, like, you know, not Kyle Bradish high on a list, but I think he'll get some votes for sure.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Which Oriole will finish the highest in MVP voting? And as another one I'll add here, will we see multiple Orioles receive MVP votes? I'll start with Connor.
Yeah, Gunnar Henderson finishes the highest. I don't know if I'm ready to say he's definitely going to be the MVP, but he is going to be right in the middle of the conversation. And then I think, honestly, if the Orioles stay good and he stays healthy, I think Adley Rutschman will receive down ballot MVP votes every year of his career. He just, what he brings to the O's, and if he continues to stay somewhat productive and healthy and the O's are good, I honestly don't think Adley will ever win an MVP. But I don't know if he'll go a season until he's like in his mid-30s and has moved out to first base or whatever, that he does not receive at least one down ballot MVP vote.
1,000% agree. And I do think he could win one. at some point. But I agree that he's always going to be in contention, or at least a mention in the next 10 years or so. I think Gunner will be the highest of our guys. I'll say he's the top three. I don't know if he's going to win. Like Connor said, I think he's another guy I think will win an MVP award before his career is over. Not sure if it's this year, but I think he'll be top three to five. And I'll say Cedric Mullins gets a few like 10th place votes to make his name on the list.
I think Gunner will finish third in MVP voting. He'll be the highest among any of the Orioles. Adley maybe comes in fifth or sixth. And then Corbin Burns will get a few down ballot votes by virtue of being the Cy Young Award winner, the best pitcher on the best team in the league. That's typically going to get you some attention from voters. He's not going to finish high, but he'll get some MVP votes.
Let's keep going down the award track. Which Oriole will finish the highest in AL Rookie of the Year voting? Connor?
I said it on my podcast, so Coby Mayo. He does enough in two-thirds to one-half of a season that he doesn't win the award, but he ends up being the Orioles' best rookie. Nothing away from Jackson Holliday. He has a great year, but Mayo just puts on a show in the second half.
I'm going to say that Jackson Holliday finishes third. He'll have enough time in the major leagues to make an impression in voters' minds, and he'll get extra credit because of his age. And not that Mayo is old at 22, but Holliday, being as young as he is, will get a little bit of a push there. So I think Holliday finishes third. I think that Coby Mayo and Colton Cowser will both receive votes, though.
Yeah, this is tough because it's kind of a loaded year. I mean, you got Wyatt Langford, Evan Carter for the Rangers. Junior Caminero is going to come up at some point. Daryl Hernandez making the opening day roster. Shout out to him. Love to see that former Orioles farmhand be eligible for something like that. Actually, he's probably not eligible for a draft pick for his team, but he is eligible for the award, obviously. Let's see. I will say Coby Mayo as well, because I think he's going to get close to a full season of ball with the Orioles this year. And I think he'll be in contention for the award in the top three. I think Cowser will receive votes. I think Holliday will receive votes. And I think Kerstad will receive votes. I think it's going to be a really strong year for the Orioles rookies, even if only one or two are going to be eligible for the award. But yeah, Coby Mayo for me as well.
Who will win Orioles team MVP? Start with Bob.
That's tough. Easy answer is Gunner. But I wonder if Gunner could finish higher in MVP voting, but we consider Adley Rutschman the Orioles MVP.
I think he'll win the Cy Young, and because of what he brings to the Orioles that they haven't had since Mike Mussina, Corbin Burns wins Orioles MVP.
I'll go with Gunner. I think that he'll just have statistically the best all-around season of any position player, be one of the best players in the American League. I'll go with Gunner.
Orioles Cy Young. I have no idea who we're going to pick, but Connor?
I mean, it's Corbin Burns for the non-Corbin Burns Cy Young. I mean, I'll give the award to Tyler Wells. Not even as just a starter all year, but I think he's just so good in three different roles that he pitches in that he becomes like the Orioles' secret weapon on the mound.
Corbin Burns, but then I think Grayson Rodriguez has a good enough year that we're maybe talking about whether or not he'll get down ballot Cy Young votes in 2025.
Yeah, I completely agree with Zach. So I'll say Burns and then Grayson in the non-Burns division.
Minor league player of the year, start with Connor.
Ooh, because it's tough. Because it can go to a guy who, theoretically, can go to a guy who like comes up in September. But I'm going to keep it to someone who is in the system all year. And I guess it's the easy answer then if you're going that way and just you give it to Samuel Basayo. But he's just going to be so good. And I don't think he's going to debut this year. So when you combine those two things together, he might be the runaway winner of that award.
Yeah, I think it is. I think he's the easy answer for a reason. I think he's going to demolish pitching at AA. Might face a little bit of a test in AAA, at least when he first gets there. But man, I think on his way to being an unbeatable record up there with 21-31, the new number one prospect in baseball for the fourth year in a row as an Oriole, Samuel Basayo.
It's Basayo, and that's even taking into account that he's probably going to be exclusively a DH for the first month of the season. I just think the numbers he's going to put up between two levels of the minors, I do think we'll see him in AAA this year, are going to be impressive, and he won't make the majors. So, and typically, the track record, at least in recent years, has gone more towards guys that spend the entire year in the minors. So I'll take Basayo. How about minor league pitcher of the year? Start with Bob on this one.
Yeah, this is tougher because, as we may have mentioned once or twice, this is the year of the pitcher in the minor league system for the Orioles. I will go with Luis De Leon, who I think is going to just really catapult. I think he's going to be a top 100 prospect by the end of this year. I think he's going to be like in that DL Hall category and just be like that electric left-handed pitcher. And I think there's another a few other guys that are going to be in contention. I don't think it's going to be like a runaway like we've seen a couple years here in recent times, but I think that's who it's going to end up being.
I think Chase McDermott will be the best pitcher, but I think he'll spend plenty of time in the big leagues where he's not going to win that award. I think we're going to see a gigantic season out of Trace Bright. He will be given this award with, I think, just some gaudy strikeout numbers as a starter this year.
Connor must have read my mind because that's my pick as well for the exact same reasons that he mentioned.
All right. Bold Orioles prediction in general. Let's go with Zach here. Give Connor a little bit of time to think about that.
So my bold prediction for this year, I'm going to say that we come out of the season with CNL Perez, and this was the subject of my bold prediction last year. I think Perez pitches well enough that we finally stop having the conversation about whether or not you're going to stick with him in the bullpen. Is he going to implode? He's going to be fine. He's going to emerge as one of the better lefties in this bullpen. And because the thing I always go back to is that before his 2022 breakout, he didn't pitch well in the major leagues, but his underlying data was really good. He always had decent strikeout numbers. He always had really high ground ball rates. So while 2022 was probably the ceiling of what you can get, there's still a middle there where he's a pretty dependable reliever. So I'll say a strong year from CNL Perez.
I gave six bold predictions on an episode last week, so everyone can go check that one out. But I will give a seventh here. And my seventh bold prediction will be that we see just a full, healthy, consistent, productive season out of Ryan Mountcastle. And when we get to October, we are penciling him in 2-3-4 every day in that lineup and even trusting him against good righties with crazy good breaking balls. And I just think as long as the vertigo doesn't crop up for him this year, we're going to see a Ryan Mountcastle that I think has not been forgotten. But with the amount of time he spent away from the team because of the vertigo last year and with the production of Ryan O'Hearn and the ability of Santander to play first and the existence of Kobe Mayo and Heston Kerstad and even Kyle Stowers now in these power hitters, we're kind of forgetting that Ryan Mountcastle could be a huge piece in the middle of this order. And I think he will do that for the Orioles.
I like that. I have two kind of, one I've been talking about it all night where I think my bold prediction is the Orioles are going to be a little more willing to have multiple young guys, rookies, prospects in the lineup, Mayo, Kowser, Kerstad, Holiday. I think they're going to be up earlier and than they have in the past. I think the week schedule early on can kind of play into that. But my real bold prediction is Dean Kramer takes a little bit of a step forward in his progression. He's going to have Corbin Burns, his pitching idol, right next to him all season long, going to pick his brain. I think he's going to fine-tune some things and become like a solid mid-rotation starter as opposed to like an innings eater, bottom of the rotation starter. And I think he's going to make up for that bad pitching performance last year and be really strong in the playoffs when they come around this year.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This next prompt is always one of my favorites on this show, and it's your bold prediction MLB-wide. So just look at the 29 other teams in the league. What is your bold prediction? Start with Connor.
I will say I'm not going to make it Shohei Ohtani related, even though I want to right now. That story is taking up most of the real estate in my brain. Anything baseball related that's not like Orioles roster crunch right now is Shohei Ohtani. I can't get enough of it, but I won't make a prediction there. That seems reckless. What are the odds something crazy happens there? I would say that my bold MLB prediction is that this year, not last year, but this year is the year that the Padres and the Mets actually live up to the expectations set for them last year. I think now with a lot of the pressure off for the Padres, it's, well, they traded away Juan Soto and the Dodgers look like the greatest team ever in their own division. And the Diamondbacks just went to the World Series. And for the Mets, it's like, well, they got rid of Scherzer and Verlander. And what is this team even going to do? I think without all the pressure, those two teams get back into the postseason this year and become an actual force. Maybe not the force we thought they would be at this time last year, but a solid playoff contender.
I will say no Yankees in the playoffs, and the Cincinnati Reds are this year's Arizona Diamondbacks who sneak into the playoffs and make a deep run. I don't know. I won't say World Series, but NLCS and like on the verge, TM, of making it to the World Series.
I'm going to go kind of with two different predictions here because I always cheat when I get this question. The first is that I think both teams involved in the Corbin Burns trade will make the postseason. The Orioles, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, will win the American League East. And while the Brewers won't be as good as they were last year, I still think that they're good enough to meet that low threshold for the third wildcard spot in the National League. Last year, the third wildcard team in the National League only needed 84 wins. And the Brewers lineup could be better than it was last year. Their pitching staff is worse without Corbin Burns, but it's probably still good enough to compete, especially in that division. So I think the Orioles and the Brewers both go to the playoffs. And then for my other bold prediction, I think the Cardinals blow it up at the deadline this year. I just don't know that they did enough in the offseason to address some of the problems that they have. And I don't know if they don't turn around this year, I don't know what kind of franchise shape that franchise is going to be left in with some of the contracts they have on the books. But it's been a good run under John Mozeliak, but I think they really just need to go in a different direction now. And this deadline, we see them kind of blow things up.
Also, I'm really disappointed in myself. Bold prediction, Joey Ortiz wins the NL Rookie of the Year. And I left it upstairs. I should have a prop. My Milwaukee Brewers number 3 Ortiz jersey came in, and I should be holding that up right now. Just pretend I am if you're listening on podcast. There we go. And last thing, unless there's anything else people want to talk about here, predicted playoff teams and the World Series matchup with the winner. I think we always finish with this. Let's start with Zach.
So across the board, I'm going to say the Orioles win the East. I think the Guardians have another year where they get by getting the most out of their pitching staff and winning a lot of close games. They take the Central. I said this last year, and I might be wrong again, but I think this is finally the year we see the AL West turnover and Seattle actually lives up to its full potential and wins the division. And then as my wild card teams, I'm going to take the Blue Jays, Astros, and Yankees. And then in the National League, I will take the Braves as the winner, the Cubs in the Central, the Dodgers in the West, and then my wild card teams will be the Phillies, Giants, and Brewers.
I did say the Orioles would finish second in the AL East. I believe every year since I started hosting the Locked On Orioles podcast, which was 2020, I've picked the Rays to win the AL East. And so I'm just going to stick with it. I don't know how they're going to do it, but no one ever knows how the Rays are going to do it. And they're going to find a way to win 92 games and slip by the Orioles. So I have the Rays in the AL East. In the Central, I mean, who knows? But I think the Twins still have the most talent. I'm going to say we get a healthy Royce Lewis and Byron Buxton this year, and all of a sudden the Twins are an impact team in the American League. And then in the West, there's no point in betting against the Astros, so I will take the Astros because they even somehow won that division last year. And then my wild card teams, the Orioles will be the top wild card with the 91 wins. I will say below them will be the Rangers, and then I think it will go down to the wire between the Yankees, Mariners, and Blue Jays. And I will say that the Mariners sneak back in this year, and the AL East only gets 2 playoff teams. In the National League, I mean, the Braves are just too good to not win that division. The Dodgers are just too good to not win that division. And I don't know. I mean, they traded a lot away, but the Brewers do a lot of things right. So I'm going to take them winning a really, really bad NL Central. And then for my wild card teams, I already said that I believe the Padres and the Mets are getting back in. So throw those two in there along with the Phillies team that I still highly believe in. And those are my 12 playoff teams. Are we also jumping into the World Series pick here too?
Yeah, do it.
Because I gave the Orioles, so I might as well give the Orioles over the Dodgers because it takes that long, but Shohei Ohtani does get suspended in the playoffs and doesn't play in the World Series and the Orioles win.
Zach, did you give your World Series?
I'm going to say Orioles over Braves.
Okay. I'll say Orioles win the AL East. Detroit Tigers win the AL Central. I really like
Jack
them.
Flaherty.
Yeah, I think that puts them over the top. No, I like their pitching, and I think their guys like Torkelson and Riley Green are going to have a step up this year. I like them to win a very weak division. AL West will go with the Astros. I think the wild cards will be the Tampa Bay Rays. I agree, only 2 AL East teams in the playoffs this year. I'll say the Mariners make the playoffs and the Rangers in the wild card. In the NL, I'll go Braves in the East, Cincinnati Reds, previously mentioned bold prediction in the Central, another weak division, Dodgers in the West. I'll say Giants wild card. I'll say Phillies wild card and Brewers wild card. And I think that the Braves defeat the Orioles in the World Series.
So that's a good look at what's to come in the 2024 MLB season. The Orioles set to open up this week, Thursday, weather permitting. If it's not then it will be Friday. So we're obviously looking forward to that here at Orioles on the Verge. And
Triple A starts same day.
That's right.
Jackson Holliday. We're going to get to watch him.
So Connor Newcomb, the host of Locked On Orioles, kind enough to join us for both parts of this episode. So Connor, first of all, thank you for coming back on. And can you tell our listeners what to expect with your post-opening day coverage?
Yeah, so shortly after the game ends, depending on whether or not I am there, but at some point on Thursday evening, we will have a live episode on the Locked On Orioles YouTube channel. So make sure to subscribe over there with a recap of opening day. That is, if that game is played. And then Friday will kind of be the full breakdown of the opening day roster, mostly because I don't see them finalizing things until Thursday morning. They're probably going to wait that long. They've said they're going to wait that long. So that'll be the full breakdown heading into the weekend. Unless, of course, we get some baseball moved to Friday, then just kind of flip those things. Thursday, we break it down, and Friday evening after the game, we get the live show. And then throughout the season on the podcast, I mean, once it hits midnight, you're going to have an episode in YouTube and an audio that's recapping the game from the night before 5 days a week. So if you're looking for daily minor league coverage, you're in the right place. If you're looking for daily major league coverage, head over to Locked On Orioles.
And I have to say, if Locked On Orioles is great in the offseason, but man, Connor shines and during the season. It's fantastic to listen to the game recaps. I do it every morning. So please check that out if you don't already.
It's a grind, but it is a labor of love, especially for where this team is at right now.
Well, Connor, glad to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us for these two episodes.
Yeah, thanks for having me once again, and happy opening day, everyone.
Yes, and that does it for our two-part look at predictions for the Orioles. We will be back next week to recap the first few games of the Major League season and the opening weekend for the Norfolk Tides. You're not going to want to miss that. In the meantime, check us out on our many social media channels, including Facebook, Threads, Instagram, X, TikTok, and YouTube. And as a reminder, if you're a member of our Patreon community, you will receive bonus daily coverage beginning this weekend when the Tides start their season. For a preview of that, you can get a free trial at Patreon and or join our Discord community to look at the conversations going on in there. The link to that is in the episode notes. For Bob Phelan and Nick Stevens, this is Zach Spedden. You've been listening to Orioles on the Verge, part of the Believe Podcast Network.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.